Ladies and gentlemen, the material and quotations used on the following program are taken from authentic news reports off the wires of Associated Press and International News Service. We present this material without editorial comment, since this station takes no official stand on any controversial question. We can, therefore, assume no responsibility for the attitude such statements reflect.
From San Francisco, the American Broadcasting Company presents One Out of Seven. Twenty-four hours make a day, 7 days make 1 week. And from these past 7 days, the editors here in our San Francisco newsroom have chosen the one story which they have judged most worthy of retelling. This is One Out of Seven.
We're not here to tell you what is good or what is evil, or to tell you what is right and what is not right. Being only men as you are, and thus being as moral or as immoral as you are, we refuse to mount the seat of judgment to pass sentence on those as guilty or as innocent as we claim ourselves to be. Now, we ask only that you pause, observe, and reflect. You have an intelligence of your own. Judge these actions for yourself. Last week, beneath the spacious skies of America the Beautiful, in the valleys of the amber grain and the fruited plain, and in the city towers looming high with the majesty of purple mountains, the people rejoiced and rededicated themselves in a nationwide Brotherhood Week. Lofty and ideal were the speeches of Brotherhood Week. Stirring and altruistic were the pledges and promises of Brotherhood Week. Godly and charitable were the aims of Brotherhood Week. But there are two families in San Francisco who are asking questions. Two families. City desk, Martin.
Say, boss, here's a pretty fair yarn on an eviction case. You want it?
Yeah, sure. What's it all about?
Well, it seems there's a gentleman out in one of the residential districts who objects to the presence of a Filipino family in the neighborhood. There's also a Chinese family living nearby that, it doesn't appeal to him either.
Yeah, I'll go on.
Well, this gentleman says that the fact that these two families are living near him detracts from the value of his property.
Well, what's the matter? Does he have something against them?
Oh, no, nothing like that, boss. He just says that when he moved there, he was told that it was a neighborhood for white people. White people only. One of those restricted deals, you know? Well, now he's filing suit to have him evicted. Says he's losing money if they stay.
What about the two families? What have they got to say?
Well, they're plenty burned up about it. They're organizing, yeah, to fight the neighbor boosters club who's behind this gentleman. One of the members of the Filipino family is he's a Navy veteran, and he gave me a pretty good quote.
Well, go ahead. Let's have it.
Okay, boss. He says, "Is this what we've been fighting for? To have a bunch of stay-at-homes throw us out of our house?"
No, we're not here to tell you what is right and what is wrong. We wish merely to report that last week, the nation observed Brotherhood Week. In the churches and town halls throughout the country, the people rededicated themselves to the principles of tolerance and charity of the founding fathers. Columbia, Tennessee. A little more than 24 hours ago, the worst racial disorder in years, brought about by rumors of threatened lynching of Negroes, sweeps the city. 500 highway patrolmen raid a two-block area in the Negro section of the town where the non-white are carefully segregated. Armed with pistols and machine guns, the huge force of police search every Negro building in the area. Under the command of the State Director of Public Safety, the patrolmen fire withering blasts through the windows of the homes of the buildings. Groups of the Negroes huddled behind barricaded doors answer the machine gun fire with two or three scattered shots. More than 40 Negroes are arrested during the raid. The State Director of Public Safety describes the police exploit as a success. The origin of the bloody race riot is not clear, but it is reported that it started when a Negro woman and her son had a fight with a Navy veteran.
the Negro couple were arrested, and it was then, according to one Negro, that the lynching rumor fired the town. Isn't that right?
Well, we heard that the white men were going to have a lynching party tonight, and, well, we didn't like that. We didn't want any killing to start again.
And so, brethren, let us again renew our faith in Christian charity, in the principles of brotherhood that Christ himself handed down to us. And let us again resolve to act and live by the precept that we are all brothers, regardless of the color of our skin or the creed we profess, that we are all brothers in the house of the Lord.
We're not here to pass judgment on what is good and what is evil. We wish merely to report that last week, in a nationwide celebration marked by pledge and promise, the people observed the annual custom of Brotherhood Week. In a large eastern city, time, Thursday of last week, a Jewish newspaper editor and his family stand outside their burning home, huddled in firemen's capes against the cold of the early winter morning.
I'm from headquarters, Mr. Byrne. I heard about how the fire started in your house. Do you expect anybody or suspect anybody in particular?
Well, no. I could not tell you the name of the man. I don't think I know him. But lately I've been receiving phone calls and a few letters, too, warning me about the editorials I've been writing in my district newspaper.
Well, what were those phone calls and letters all about, Mr. Byrne?
Well, they said I was trying to make our district into a ghetto and a Negro colony because I've been opposing a drive by the neighborhood club to keep out all the Jews, Negroes, Italians, Chinese. I think you know, officer, you must have heard.
Yeah, I've heard, Mr. Byrne. I guess this is their answer, huh?
Yes. Tonight, there was another telephone call, and then about 1 o'clock, my wife and I...
All right, George, light the torches and let them fly. We'll teach that Jew a lesson he won't forget. Come on, let's get out of here.
You see, it is not our place to pass sentence on the incident. For we're only men as moral or as immoral as you are, or as they are. We wish only to point out that last week was Brotherhood Week. Several appropriate speeches were made, and the people as a whole pledged themselves to tolerance and charity. The annual observance was acclaimed a success. Throughout the nation, priests and ministers... This is a story which probably will not receive the circulation it deserves. It concerns an incident which occurred last week at a southeastern Navy station here in the United States. And if my guess is right, it should give many a citizen cause to stop and ponder the worth and aims of our lately won victory. It all happened in one of the mess rooms at this particular Navy base where a group of officers...
Now, look, I don't care what anybody says. It's all the fault of the Jews. Now, look, I was in the Pacific, yeah. And all the time we're sweating it out over there, the big Jews back in the States are demanding that we defeat Germany first, while the men in the Pacific starve and sweat it out. Now, oh, no, you can't tell me a thing about those Jews, brother. I know exactly what they're like. You can have them.
I beg your pardon, Commander. I'm a Jew, and I think you're very mistaken in what you say.
Well, now, listen here, Mr. Goldstein. You're a lieutenant. The Constitution may say that I have to serve in the same Navy with Jews, but there are no Navy regulations that say I have to eat at the same table with them.
Now, you other gentlemen will excuse me.
Last week was Brotherhood Week. Last week was Brotherhood Week. Down through the rain, down through the wet, glistening street he came, his head bared, his frayed coat collar pulled tightly around his neck, a wide, ugly cut on his forehead, still bleeding, a monstrous bruise covering the side of his face. But strangely, I noticed he walked straight up, his head high. He came up and he stood beside me at the bus stop. And after a while, he said,
You are wondering about me. Is that not so? This cut on my head and this bruise on my face?
Why, yes, as a matter of fact, I was wondering about...
Yeah, well...
Well, it looks like a pretty nasty cut, mister. Tell me, how'd you get it?
Well, it all happened so suddenly, I still cannot remember everything. I try. Tonight, like every Wednesday night, we have our meeting down in the hall on the west side of the city, you know?
Yeah, I know where that hall is.
Well, on Wednesdays, the people who are of my race, well, we all meet together to learn about our new country, to study the language, and to try to be better Americans.
Uh-huh.
But tonight, we have some visitors. They are a group of men, and they say, we cannot stay here because this town is for people of their race only. We say, we will not go. And then there is a big fight. The men wreck our club room, they smash our furniture, and they fight with us. They tell us in loud voices, get out, stay out. But we fight back because we know the laws. The laws say these men are wrong. Oh, but the laws, they are not everything, are they?
Well, no, they're not, mister. You'll find that out.
Yes, we have found it out already. There are many things different about America than first, I thought. Well, now, I must cross the street to the church. Would you like to come with me? I do not pray, you know. But I like to stand there in the church and say these things. It makes me feel better inside here after what has happened tonight.
Well, I crossed the street with him and I went into the church. We sat down in one of the pews far back in one of the dark corners of the church. A few candles flickered uncertainly up at the altar. And after a long moment, he turned to me and he said,
I do not hate these men who do such things. I am not bitter against them. Only I have so much pity for them. For is it not true? They are like frightened little children, afraid, running around, looking for an enemy to fight. Anybody. But they do not see. The real enemy, he is inside them. Oh, they hate us. Yes, they hate us. But really, they do not know why. They would kill us. And then they would look down at our bodies and they would feel like little children who had just broken their toys. They see only the difference of color or language. And they become angry because we are not as they. Oh, it is so sad. And that is why I have so much pity for them. So blind. They are so blind. The sun is there waiting for them, shining warm and full over everybody. But their eyes are still closed. And all they can see is the darkness.
The script for One Out of Seven is written by James Edward Moser. Gil Dowd is the producer, and music is by Otto Clare at the Hammond organ. All characters in tonight's performance were portrayed by Jack Webb. Listen next week, same time, same station, for
One Out of Seven.
Mark Jordan speaking. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.